Refresh.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you again with another episode of Refresh Podcast. It has been quite some time since we have been together. Oh my goodness, I am incredibly sorry. I want to start off by saying Happy New Year. It is 2021. It's the start of a brand new year. I apologize for my absence, with the holidays and just work and all of the mixture of those things. A little bit of laziness. It was easy to get off a course with creating content on podcasts, but here's the first episode for the brand new year. We are going to be closing out the last episode of our series of Why Jesus Christ, and we're going to be moving into some different content. So I just want to take some time to recap. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to jump right into this. Father, I just thank you so much to be back here with your people. God, I pray that this message today, God, that it would just be seeds that would be planted into our hearts, God. Father, I pray that the seeds that are going to be planted from this message today, God, would take root in our hearts. And God, that when the harvest arrives, that the seeds of those words would be fruitful and that they would begin to bear good fruit. God, I pray that you'd open up our hearts and our ears to receive from you today. God, I pray that our hearts and our lives would be challenged from this word. And Father, we give you the highest praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So guys, I am super excited to bring you to episode 5 of Why Jesus Christ. And episode 5, before I reveal the title for you, let's recap some of the other episodes, shall we? So episode 1 was about Jesus being your Redeemer. That we chose sin over God, and because we chose sin over God, it set us for a life that it was experiencing death and pain and disease and shame and guilt and all of these different things that would come against us. But Jesus stepped forward. The plan was set in motion that we could be redeemed. Episode 2 was about that Jesus Christ is compassionate, that he is filled with compassion for you. Episode 3 was being that he is intimately involved in all of your ways. And the last episode that we had together before the hiatus was that he is for you. And today I reveal to you last but most certainly not least, he is coming back. And that is what separates our God from the lower G gods, from the false religions in this world, is that we messed up. It's important to realize that, guys. We got to take ownership. We got to take responsibility that we messed up. We chose sin over God, but yet he loved us so much. He was filled with compassion that he wanted to redeem us, that he created a plan for us by meeting us where we were. Shining light, illuminating the light into the darkness of our lives. Last time we were together, we learned that God was for you and he is not against you. And today I want to share the good news with you that you are not forgotten, that Jesus Christ is coming back. Let's jump into some scripture and let's read, shall we? And we have quite a bit of stuff today, so please just bear with me, just kick back, relax, and I am going to just guide you through this. And I want you to just open up your understanding. God, I pray that you would open up our understanding right now, Lord. I pray that you would just remove any distractions that would hinder this word, God. I rebuke the enemy that would come to devour this word the moment that it is taking root in our lives. And God, I pray that this word would just be something that would just challenge us, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Guys, in John 14, 1 through 6, it says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me also." So I want to read that for you guys because that is how it starts. But I want to finish because this is a lot of good stuff and I don't want to rush through this. So right here in John 14 is actually Jesus talking to the disciples. And so this is what it is saying, and I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard Bible, and it says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also may be. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So let's recap. It starts by Jesus telling the disciples, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. Guys, it is very easy nowadays for our hearts to be troubled, especially whenever somebody we love or greatly admired leaves us. You know, whenever somebody that is a part of our life, whether it is that they move away or, you know, they get a promotion at work or they pass away, you know, whatever it is that we tend not to be able to see those people for quite some time, our hearts begin to be troubled. And that's what the disciples were feeling here, that Jesus was preparing them for his ascension. And so Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me and also believe in God. And I said that backwards, but you know, Jesus commands the disciples here, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me also. Guys, I want you to know that when you believe in God, that it's an investment, that God is real. He exists, and chasing after him is not a waste of time. Jesus is telling the disciples, I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you, but it's okay. Because I'm coming back. I'm not going there to stay there. I'm coming back for you. And when I do come back, you get to come with me. Isn't that exciting? That gets me excited that Jesus went ahead of me to prepare a place for me. And when he comes back, he's going to have a place for me in heaven. That is incredible. That excites my heart. Now, you're going to appreciate Thomas, because I'm sure that some of you are listening to this are going to sound, you're going to be able to relate to Thomas. You probably maybe even feel exactly like Thomas feels. And Thomas is like, but Lord, we don't even know which way you're going. How will we know where to go? Jesus says to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, guys, it's important to realize that many people are deceived by the lie today that there are multiple ways to achieve their place in heaven. This reminds me of a conversation that I had with a lady at work one time, and this lady was British, so she must have had some sort of English or European, dissension is a terrible word, some sort of ancestry from England or Europe. And so I remember her saying, and this is probably one of the last times I've seen this lady, like, oh, I believe there's multiple ways to get to heaven. You know, if you believe in this guy, if you believe in this person, you believe in this person of God, you know, you're going to all be able to meet up and go to heaven. And I remember saying, ma'am, that's not the way it works. But I remember that as soon as those words left my lips, that this lady was gone. Like, I had never she teleported or fell off the face of the earth or the ground opened up and ate her like in the times of Moses. But you know, her and along with several other people are deceived by the lie that there are multiple ways to achieve their place to get to heaven. Many think it's about how good of a person you can be by how hard you can work. But I want you to see what it is said in his scripture right here, friends. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? In your name do we not cast out demons? In your name do we not perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I want you to think about that for a second. I'm going to recap that for you right fast. There was people that were going to Jesus and saying, didn't we do all this stuff for you? Jesus, we prophesied. We cast out demons. We performed miracles. But Jesus says, no. Depart from me, I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness, a state of disorder due to the disregard of the law. Someone who practices anarchy and chaos and rebellion and insurrection and misrule and riot and crime. He's like, depart from me.
You didn't spend time with me. I didn't know you. And that comes out of Matthew 7, 21 through 23. In James, it says that faith without works is dead. And I 100% agree. I'd also be willing to go a mile to say that works without faith is dead. And that's exactly what these individuals were doing here. They were working hard. I mean, really hard. Because they had heard that the expectation of them was to do all of this stuff. But they allowed their personal life with the Creator to be neglected. And it was that relationship that mattered the most. That they were working so hard that they didn't have faith. And works without faith is dead just as much as faith without works is dead. Guys, you need both. That Jesus does require you to go and do these things, to go and to prophesy, to go and heal the sick, to go and perform miracles, to go and cast out demons. But he also requires faith and a relationship with you, because if he does not know you in a personal way, you're not going to make it to the kingdom of God. That's what he says there in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. I do not know you. Now, friend, don't be discouraged by hearing these things. Let's go back to what Jesus says to Thomas in John 14. He tells Thomas, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, the life. But you know, Jason, well, what about Buddha? I mean, he was a good guy. No, Jesus is the only way. But you know, what about following the faith of the Mormons? That Joseph Smith guy was awesome. He did a lot of cool things. No, Jesus is the only way. But what about working really, 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 really hard and obtaining good morals and being a guy that is popular and has all these followers on social media? No, Jesus is the only way. Guys, I want you to know that when you choose Jesus, you don't only find your way to heaven, but you find truth and you find life. Right where you are, I want you to raise your hand if you like being lied to. I want you to raise your hand if you're ready to die right now. Probably not. You don't know where you're going. Maybe you do. You're probably like, what you gonna do, threaten me with heaven? But you better know. You better know. You better know. Hebrews 9, verses 27 through 28. This is the Message translation. It says this. Everyone has to die once and then face the consequences. Christ's death was also a one-time event, but it was sacrifice that took care of sins forever. And so when he next appears, the outcome for those eager to greet him is precisely salvation. And I love the way that the Message says this, that everyone has to die once and then face the consequences, because that's exactly the truth, 100%, that whatever you do in this life, you will one day be held accountable for it. So guess what? If you do a lot of bad stuff, one day you're going to stand before God and you're going to account for every evil thing that you've done, every ounce of wickedness that you've distributed to others. You're going to be held accountable for that. And every good thing you've done, every good deed you've done, everything that you've done for the glory and for the kingdom of God, if you're doing it for the glorification of God, that God could be glorified in your life by doing these things, and you're not doing it for self-gain and self-righteousness, then you're going to answer before God for those good consequences. But it talks about that Jesus' death was a one-time event. Meaning that Jesus doesn't die over and over and over and over and over again because you keep sinning over and over and over and over again. That Jesus died one time. It was a sacrifice that took care of your sins forever. That Jesus knew you were going to mess up tomorrow. He died forever for your sins. That it covers tomorrow. Praise God. Because, you know, I'm not perfect, man. I mess up. And I'm so grateful to know that Jesus died in that one-time event to cover my sins forever. That I can have redemption, that I can have grace, that I can have mercy. What a gracious Father we serve. Christ's death was a sacrifice for our sins. And when he comes back again, the outcome for those who are eager to greet him is precisely salvation. Jason, that's too churchy, man. Simplify it, please. I would be glad to. Think about it like this. Jesus is us coming home from work. And we,
We are the dog that has missed his owner all day while he was gone. We are eager to greet him. Have you ever been a pet owner before? Maybe you've had a cat. Maybe you've had a dog. Whatever your pet is, whenever you're gone all day and you finally get back and your dog or your cat is so excited to see you that they're moving, that they're alive, that they're barking or meowing, that they're jumping or panting, that their tails are wagging, that they are filled with an enjoyment and an excitement that cannot be contained because the person that they're madly in love with, that they've missed all day long, they finally get the opportunity to greet them. And that's exactly how we are going to be for those of us that are in love with Jesus, for those of us that have deemed him the Lord of our life, for those of us that he has rescued from our sins and from our bondage, for those of us that he had created a plan B, that whenever we messed up plan A, that he created plan B, that we can inherit the kingdom of God, that we're going to be so excited to greet him whenever he comes back, that we're going to be just like that dog, that we're going to be that we're going to be so filled with excitement that our tails are going to be wagging, and we're going to be, Jesus, I am so glad that you are here. I am so glad that you're here. I've read about you. I gave my life for you. I've done all of these amazing things, but I built this relationship with you, and now here you are. Man. I was watching Shazam the other day, and now I know this is not the best movie to watch, but there's a part of it that I could not help but think about when I was preparing this podcast. And it's Billy, there's a part where Billy, which is the protagonist, you know, the kid that has the Shazam power. And, you know, there's this part where he is at this carnival, and he loses his mom in a crowd of people, and he searches all over the place for his mom, and he is unsuccessful. But as he grows up, he continues to search and search and search and search for his mom, and he finally gets to a place where he finds her, and it's not exactly at all what she thought he would, the expectation in his mind that he built that his mom would be. And his mom didn't want him, that his mom purposely abandoned him. And you know what? That's the same very story with us, friend, that we were lost in sin, that sin abandoned us, and that we kept searching for love and over and over and over and over again with moments of being unsuccessful. But the difference here between us and Billy is that we found a love that is not abandoning us, that God wanted us, the God who's madly in love with us, and he finishes exactly what he starts. Hebrews 13:5 says, be content with the things you have, for I said I will never leave you nor forsake you. Neither will I leave you nor forsake you. Lastly, I want to leave you with this thought. Revelations 19:7-9 says this. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Friend, we are the bride of Christ. We as the whole body, we are the bride of the Christ. Our bridegroom will not abandon us. He will not stand us up. He will not get cold feet. He will not say the wedding is off. He will not say, I don't have any love for you anymore. He will not say, I can't do this. He will not say, I am nervous. But no, he will follow through. He will keep his word. He will come back for us. He will scoop us up. He will carry us through the doorway of heaven. He has sealed a ring of commitment upon us, vowing to redeem us with the blood that he shed for our lives. That gets me so excited just thinking about it. Now here's the questions that you need to ask yourself as the bride of Christ. Are you going to abandon the bridegroom? Are you going to get cold feet? Are you having second thoughts? Are you falling out of love with the bridegroom? When it comes time to say those vows, will you say the vows back? Will you proclaim your love for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Friend, This is why Jesus Christ is the only way. Because he is coming back for us. That this isn't the end. That this isn't the dead end. This isn't all that there is. That you come into this world born as a baby and you're grown, being taught all of these morals, and you're being taught all of these great things, and you go to school and you go to work, and you're trying to become famous, and you're trying to get all this money, you're trying to get all the best things that there is. None of that stuff will ever sustain you or bring you joy. But Jesus Christ will. There is nothing in this world that can save you or redeem your life from going to hell except Jesus Christ. Because he is coming back for us. He didn't lose us or misplace us. He has a great love for us all. And even those who have done some pretty rough things. Look, listen, if you have a past that you are ashamed of, that you don't think you're lovable, that you don't think that this Jesus guy that I've been talking about can ever love you, I want you to know that you couldn't be further from the truth, friend. That there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. In fact, before you even loved him, he loved you first. He said, I love you first. And I want you to know that you can be redeemed, that your sins can be washed away, that your inheritance of the kingdom can be reinstated, that today you can choose to say yes to Jesus Christ and be adopted into the family of heaven. To know that he who sits on the throne of heaven cares greatly about you. Friend, today I encourage you to repent of your sins. To repent of your sins means to say, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done wrong. Forgive me, wash me clean of these sins, and help me to move on with my life. I want to give my life to you. And basically, you move on. In James, it talks about to submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Guys, this is the first step. It's submitting yourself to God, and then you'll have the ability to resist the devil, and he will flee. Let's pray. Father, just thank you so much for the privilege, the honor to speak to your people today. God, I thank you so much that whenever we chose the wickedness of sin, that when we chose the death over the life that you've given, God, that wasn't the end for us. But God, that you created a way that we can be reinstated into the kingdom and that being given your one and only son, Jesus Christ. God, that whoever would believe in him, though they were destined to die, Lord, that they have the ability to live. God, I thank you that this sacrifice that Jesus had given for our sins is to cover our sins forever and not a limited time offer. God, I thank you that it's not about how hard we work for it. God, I thank you that it's not about how good that we can be, but God, it's about how good you are. God, it's about what you have done for us. God, I pray that you would help us to be aware of your presence. God, help us to be aware of what you've done for us. God, I pray that you would just remove the doubt that is holding us back from selling our lives out to you. God, the second thoughts, Lord, the thoughts of what if this doesn't work out? What if this isn't exactly what I had imagined it would be? God, I pray that you would just help us in our unbelief. God, that you would be just like when Thomas said, I don't know if that's actually Jesus. I need to see his side to prove it. I need to see his hands to prove it. God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us in the ways that we need it so that we would believe you. God, that every blessing that we are aware of in our lives would bring us to a place of repentance in our hearts, God. God, that we can commit our lives to you and not take it back. But God, that it would be a long-term commitment with you. God, that it would be an everlasting covenant that we made with you. For we are the bride of Christ, and God, you are our bridegroom. God, I thank you that you have not abandoned us, but that you are coming back for us. God, I thank you that you have sealed our lives with a ring of commitment when you shed your blood for us. God, I pray that we would come to a place of salvation. God, that we would come to a place where we are aware that in our own power and our own strength, that there is nothing that we can do to redeem ourselves from sin and the weight of sin, because the wages of sin is death. It's nothing that we can ever pay back. It's a debt that we would be indebted to forever. But God, I thank you that you stepped forward and that you paid our tab. God, there's truly no one like you in all this earth, and all glory and power and praise is given to you, for you alone are worthy. God, I thank you that you have spoken in John 14 that you are the way, the truth, and the life. God, that whenever we believe in you, Lord, that we have the way to get to heaven. It's not through any of the false prophets of this world. It's not about how good we can earn it, but God, it's by accepting Jesus and knowing that he is the way. God, that whenever we accept Jesus, not only do we have the way to heaven, but we have truth. God, we have truth that we can build a foundation of our lives upon. God, that we can know that when we trust in your truth, that we won't be lied to. God, that there will not be words that are taken back, but that your word is substantial. That your word is constant, the same yesterday, today, and forever, God. And I thank you that whenever we choose you, we find life. God, that we can abandon our own lives and we can lay down our lives and take up the one that is associated with you. God, that we can become new creations in you. That we can be renewed in our minds and renewed in our hearts, God. Father, I pray the thoughts that we have, Lord, would be thoughts of you and thoughts that are set on the kingdom. Father, I thank you and I give you the highest praise because you're so good, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you so much for all of your love and your support. I am so grateful that this episode of this podcast has found you. This has been your boy, the Muffin Man, with another episode of Refresh Podcast, where Christ goes before you so we can bring you another refreshing word. This has been the last episode of Why Jesus Christ. I encourage you to share this series with a friend that you are trying to introduce to Jesus, that they could be encouraged, that this life with Jesus is not a hoax, is not a pastime, but it is something that it can invest in, knowing that the hope that we have is the anchor that can help keep our life sustained. Guys, I love you guys so much, and I cannot wait to be back again with you on the next episode of Refresh Podcast. Take it easy.